Welcome to the midday for a Thursday afternoon. I'm Norman Gilliland, back in our Buck studio, and happy to have you listening and happy to have the sound of four cellos and nothing but four cellos for a series of performances by the group Cel Canto. And they consist of Benjamin Whitcomb, Charlie Rasmussen, David Kaplan, and Peter Thomas. And welcome one and all to the midday.
Thank you, Norman. It's great to be here, as always.
That's Benjamin.
All right. Yes. I have had the pleasure of being on your show a number of times. I think it's maybe a first for the rest of my colleagues. And so the name, we're thinking, okay, the cello is often equated as the instrument closest to the human voice. And when we sing out with our great tenor voice sound, it's kind of like a bel canto style, but it's cello, so Cel Canto.
Yeah, so who came up with it?
Well, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
That's good.
Any
no,
pun
catchy.
Like that,
it's
I
a
think
nice idea.
Dad joke kind of pun level.
There are some wonderful music jokes, aren't there? And that one's not a joke. It's better than a joke. It's a great name for a wonderful sound that you put out with those four cellos.
Absolutely. I mean, me personally, I of course, love the blend that you can get with a string quartet, for example, four strings. But what blends even better, four of the same instrument that really can kind of encompass a similar range? So it's been a lot of fun for me. I hope that it'll be fun for everybody out there to hear these pieces.
So is there a lot of music for just four cellos? I mean, you do run across it from time to time, but is there anybody who actually wrote for four cellos only?
There are some. As you would expect, they're often the composers whose primary instrument was cello. And one of the pieces that we'll be playing today was written originally for a cello quartet. But there are just scads of arrangements. And I mean, it's a mammoth catalog of things that have been arranged for a cello quartet, and it keeps growing annually, which is kind of exciting to constantly have new things to try out as well.
The first piece we're going to hear originally for brass, Gabrielli.
So this canzona, these pieces were often, this is Charlie Rasmussen speaking, by the way. These pieces were composed for, they could have been brass instruments, it could have also been recorders or gambas. A lot of times these pieces weren't written for specific instruments, but rather for a consort. And it was also somewhat common to have what was called a broken consort, which meant you would have different instruments playing together. So you might have some viols, you might have some brass, you might have some recorders all playing together. Giovanni Gabrielli was a very famous composer, Venetian composer, and this piece is written in a contrapuntal style, which means that you're going to hear imitative entrances. No part is more important than any other part. They all work together, and we all enter. So, for example, this main theme you're going to hear comes back throughout the piece, and everybody plays it, I think, at least a couple times throughout the whole piece. And this style of composition, Gabrielli was a very influential composer, and this style of composition remained popular through the time of Bach.
So this is the Canzona Seconda by Giovanni Gabrielli from Cel Canto, live in our Buck studio.
Thank you.
Canzona Seconda by Giovanni Gabrielli, and certainly a consort that was very much in harmony there from our four cellists in the Buck studio today. We'll go forward a couple hundred years now, a couple of times over, too, I think, with the sound of Wagner for four cellos and what would be called, a spiritual piece from Lohengrin?
Yeah, this is called Fierliches Stück. Don't know if I pronounced that correctly, but I had Google tell me how to say it a few times. So for those German-speaking folks here listening, I apologize if I murdered that.
The playing is more important than the saying, so.
This is Peter Thomas, by the way.
Peter.
And it essentially means a festive piece or a ceremonial piece. And it was a piece that was in the middle of Richard Wagner's opera, Lohengrin. It's a very majestic instrumental movement, and it accompanies a magnificent wedding procession of Elsa and Barbant and the Knight of the Swan to the Minster at the Actavan II. So this piece is one of opera's most solemn moments. In addition to its orchestral form, it's often performed by ensembles such as this, cello quartet. You can hear this arrangement. It's a really nice one by Grussmacher, also another cellist. So operatic moments that feature cello, what a great idea. Puccini, Tosca.
Well, singing instrument.
Lots of great ways that we can create very interesting and very deep, soulful sounds. And so this this piece is one of those.
And you want to mention the quote at the end?
Yes, I do. Well, I guess it's played by Charlie, and it's wedding season. I'll just put it simply.
Here we go. I think I know where we're going, marching right to it with this. Fierliches Stück from Lohengrin by Wagner.
Thank you.
Does that come before or after the famous wedding march in the opera?
Before.
Kind of a foreshadowing of that hit tune to come.
That's right. And countless weddings have used it ever since.
Very happily so. That was a solemn piece from Wagner's Lohengrin, and we're listening to Cel Canto here in our Buck studio this afternoon during the midday. We'll have a quiz question for you, as usual, at about 12:30, a very short, simple one. And it could be your day to win the prize. In the meantime, of course, the prize is all this wonderful music that we're hearing generated by these four sonorous instruments. And we have heard so far from Benjamin Whitcomb and Charlie Rasmussen and Peter Thomas, and that leaves me to ask, does David Kaplan have anything to say about what we'll hear next? Some more Wagner, maybe?
Oh, I was going to talk about, it's kind of funny, we, as for cellists, of course, we can all play any part. So sometimes each of us is on part one. So I was going to talk about the next Wagner,
And
we get to hear from David on the piece after that for the Fitzenhagen. So this next one, speaking of prizes, is the prize song from the Meistersinger, which kind of has an interesting history. I think the first time I heard this opera, I was surprised that it was written as late as it was. You know, it to me sounds like an earlier work, but in, you know, like when one kind of finds out more of the context of the piece and how he had tried a couple of times to succeed in the opera scene in Paris, and it, let's just say, he wasn't to the Parisians' taste, to their liking.
He got very hungry, Wagner did in Paris.
So, you know, so then I think it took him 4 or 5 years, 6 years, to finish writing this piece that he clearly had in mind for a while, that was a little bit of a, okay, can we take the traditional and the new and kind of find a way to accept both in a way? But in the opera, the new way wins out. So I think that's Wagner's kind of message to the Parisians. You know, you might want to expand your opera taste a little bit and invite in some new styles. So anyway, this is the prize song that Walter sings in the Act 3 to win not only the singing contest, but also his love, Ava. So it's just a great piece. All right.
The name of the piece, Morgenlicht Leuchtend, Morning Radiance, from Meistersinger, The Master Singers by Richard Wagner from Cel Canto today. And we'll be hearing more from our ensemble shortly, but I should mention, before we get to our quiz question here in a minute, where they all come from, and that is to say, Benjamin Whitcomb is a professor of cello and music theory at the UW Whitewater, and Charlie Rasmussen is a specialist in historically informed performance on Baroque cello and viola da gamba, teaches at the Wisconsin Conservatory of Music, also performs with the group Early Music Now and Just Bach, We'll be hearing a lot of Bach a little later, too. That may have something to do with Charlie. I'm not sure. We'll see. And David Kaplan performs with the Civic Orchestra of Chicago, regularly substitutes with the Chicago Symphony and the Grant Park Music Festival Orchestras. And Peter Thomas is a cellist with the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra. Brings a lot of crossover background with bands such as I'm Not a Pilot. I'm Not a Pilot, okay. Thereby hangs a tail. And presenting innovative solo looping cello performances that incorporate vocals. Wow. That's quite a lot of territory for our four performers to cover, and they've come from all those disparate places, too, to perform here on the midday. And we will get to our quiz question right after this here on Wisconsin Public Radio. First, the review of yesterday's 12:30 quiz question. It went like this. At first, a founding father thought they were unnecessary, but changed his mind and proposed them to the House of Representatives. What are they? They're the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution, known as the Bill of Rights. And James Madison thought, well, that was already covered in the main document, but eventually agreed with others that needed to be more explicitly stated, the Bill of Rights. That was yesterday's question. And here's today's. According to the rules, landing there is supposed to be free, not profitable. What are we talking about? I can give you a hint and say that the answer is actually embedded in the question in part. Here it is again. According to the rules, landing there is supposed to be free, not profitable, and it often is viewed as profitable despite those rules. What does that refer to? Identify it in the next 27 minutes, and maybe you'll win the prize today. And you can email your answer to us, as usual, at midday@wpr.org. Or you can call 1-800-442-7106 and give your answer to Ava, and we will see who wins the prize from among our correct respondents, as usual, just before 1 o'clock, after lots more music from Chel Canto live in our Buck studio today. And having already put David Kaplan on the spot now, you actually get to speak.
Yes.
And that composer, Fitzenhagen, was mentioned. What about him?
Yeah, so we're going to play the Ave Maria by Wilhelm Fitzenhagen, who was a German cellist and composer, teacher. And he lived in the second half of the 19th century, which, of course, was a ripe era for romantic music. So to shorten a long story, he caught the attention of Nikolai Rubinstein, who invited Fitzenhagen to become a professor at the Moscow Conservatory, which Rubinstein had founded. So Fitzenhagen actually was the eminent cello teacher in Russia and also enjoyed a distinguished career as a soloist. We as cellists, we all know Fitzenhagen as the guy whose name is on the Tchaikovsky Rococo Variations, of course. Well, Tchaikovsky was also a professor at the conservatory, and he dedicated the variations to Fitzenhagen. And Fitzenhagen was involved from the early stages of the piece, and let's just say he made some heavy alterations that Tchaikovsky...
Happened to poor Tchaikovsky from time to time, didn't it?
He was not happy about it, but ultimately Tchaikovsky let the revision stand, and so even to this day, 95% of people, cellists, play the Fitzenhagen version. But this Ave Maria that we're going to play was written for a church service, actually. He was a member of the German Lutheran Church in Moscow, and so he often wrote pieces for the services. Now, we find this piece, we love this piece, but we find it particularly unique because it's similar to the canzona from earlier, but cello 1 and cello 2 kind of split the principal line quite evenly. So Charlie will be on cello 1, I'm on cello 2. And we split the solo line quite evenly. But we love this piece, and here it is.
This is Ave Maria by Wilhelm Fitzenhagen.
Thank you.
Ave Maria by Wilhelm Fitzenhagen from Cel Canto today. And we'll be hearing a lot more from them before the hour is done, right after this, here on WPR. Our quiz question for today, again, according to the rules, landing there is supposed to be free, not profitable. But, of course, a lot of people for a long time have been breaking those rules. Here it is again. According to the rules, landing there is supposed to be free, not profitable. What's that about? Tell us in the next 18 minutes by emailing us at midday@wpr.org, or you can call 1-800-442-7106 and give your answer to Ava, and we will see who from among our correct respondents wins today's prize. All of that after more, a lot more from Cel Canto and one of the really famous and at times notorious works by Johann Sebastian Bach.
Yes, Bach wrote the D minor violin partita for solo violin, which includes the chaconne between 1717 and 1720. There are five movements to the partita, with the last movement titled Chacchiona, a theme and variation that juxtaposes minor and major tonalities. It is arguably the most famous and most played work for solo violin. Yehudi Menuhin called the chaconne the greatest structure for violin that exists. And violinist Joshua Bell said that the chaconne is not just one of the greatest pieces of music ever written, but one of the greatest achievements of any man in history. It is spiritually powerful, emotionally powerful, and structurally perfect. He also was playing this piece as he was busking, and nobody knew who he was.
Oh, down there in the subway in Washington, D.C., I
correct.
Think. Yeah. Famous story.
But we have no violinist today, of course, just a quartet of cellos. So we will be performing an incredible arrangement of the chaconne written by 20th century Hungarian-American cellist and soloist Laszlo Varga in 1957. It was revised in 1982. Varga was also the principal of the New York Philharmonic under Bernstein and many others. He has an extensive list of arrangements he created for cello, cello and piano, two cellos, cello ensemble, cello and voice. So shout out to Laszlo Varga. He arranged everything from the Brahms violin sonatas to Ravel's Tzigane for cello. It's really incredible how rich and lush of an ensemble that cellos can create. Hopefully you've been enjoying this program. This particular arrangement allows for four cellos equal opportunities to play the melodic lines originally written for the violin. However, the first cello part prominently plays much of the original violin part, especially in the arpeggiated section that I will be playing. It's been incredible to work with these fine gentlemen today, and we really hope you enjoy the chaconne by Johann Sebastian Bach, arranged by Laszlo Varga for four cellos. One quick thing I wanted to also mention was we had all traveled from different parts of Midwest Wisconsin and Upper Illinois to get to a rehearsal this morning at 9 a.m. to go through this program today, and we originally had booked a event space to perform in, and we never got let into that event space, but luckily across the street, a very nice manager and staff at the Reverie Bakery in Madison allowed us to use a square space that we crammed into. There was also a handicap accessible door that people were coming in and out of. At one point, there was a baby in a stroller and a mom that came straight through the cello quartet. And staff, very friendly staff, were opening the large cooler to a walk-in cooler to get cold brew for the clients that were participating.
Thanks to that bakery. Then.
Thank you so much, the bakery.
In part for this chaconne in D minor by Bach.
Thank you.
You have to let that breathe a little at the end, don't you? That fermata of silence. And that was an arrangement of the Chaconne in D minor, originally for solo violin by Johann Sebastian Bach from one of the partitas, and an arrangement for four cellos. It was performed this afternoon, along with several other pieces by my guests, Cel Canto, and coming from various places, Benjamin Whitcomb, Charlie Rasmussen, David Kaplan, and Peter Thomas. Thanks, gentlemen, for coming all the way to Madison to perform for Wisconsin and the world on the midday today.
Thanks so much, Norman. Our pleasure.
And that gets us to the results of our quiz question for today. The question having been, according to the rules, landing there is supposed to be free, not profitable, and yet a lot of people flaunt the rules. I almost think more people flaunt the rules than actually go by the rules in Monopoly. Should I ask any of you, how many of you used to tuck a $500 bill under free parking? And what it does, it protracts the game by one account to unbearable lengths. Like, it go on for days, so you break the bank and on it goes. If you play Monopoly strictly by the rules, it only lasts about 90 minutes, believe it or not. So anyway, Monopoly, after all that, is our answer today. And our winner is Donna Kappheim. Donna Kappheim of Madison, with an address and an email, will send the prize. We're fresh out of Monopoly sets, but we do have a treasure trove we'll send. And thanks again to Cel Canto today for performing. Thanks to our engineer, Brad Kohlberg. Thanks to Ruth Ann Bessman in our broadcast studio, and to Eva Karajian for answering your calls. And there's more music with Lori after the latest news.